Author of the Week, with Jessica Burtis, Rebecca Bond, Alex Lefchuk, and of course, another sensationally talented purveyor of perfect prose.
But who's the author?
Let's find out.
W-H-Y, question mark. That significant little word, that three-letter word that actually opens up so many things, whether it be Socratic questions, whether it actually be the whole notion of the meaning of life, etc. And when we start asking that question, can really actually impact on our whole range of life, particularly if you're aged between 4 and 8. Why am I talking about this? Why indeed? Because we have the absolutely fantastic author of Mummy, Why? With us in the program today. That's Erin Rice. How are you, Erin?
I'm very well, and thank you for having me today.
Excellent. Well, good to connect with you. And initially, of course, you majored in English and law, both of which can use the adversarial technique. Are these things which kind of have echoed down in terms of your notions of saying, I'll write a children's book for ages 4 to 8, in which we'll start asking the question, why?
Yeah, I think my education definitely gives me a certain viewpoint in life. And how I see things and how I question things. And, you know, having my daughter, I see how she does as well, and how it's answered, how those questions are answered, and what you look for in giving those answers. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting in terms of mommy why, which is what we're talking about here from that point of view. From the moment children utter their first words, they're bursting with questions about the world around them and why everything is the way it is. Of course, as adults, we might be seen initially as the font of all knowledge, but obviously even Google can't actually take over the joys of everything that we need to know the answer to.
No, I completely agree. I don't think we understand how much we don't actually know until we have children and they start asking those pertinent questions that really make you think about life and how little you might know, even when you think you know quite a lot.
I love the line you've actually put in on your website, of course, Erin, that some questions are delightful, some are naive, some are embarrassing, and sometimes nonsensical, while others can be poignant, heartbreaking, and often profound in their simplicity. I mean, that's really something where we kind of forget. I mean, we grow, we develop, we mature, we grow into our own forms and so on and so forth. But actually asking that question, why? I mean, it's really difficult. I mean, I suppose, you know, particularly in present circumstances, I'm sure the parents will be being asked, so why has Prince Philip died? Why? You know, these are messages where do you go to in terms of metaphysics and so on?
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I've also written, you know, when you're answering the questions for your children, you know, you want to do it very calmly and succinctly, but inside you're freaking out sometimes because you're not sure if it's going to come out the right way or if you have quite the right answer in the moment. And you need to have something in the moment that makes sense to them and to yourself. And, you know, my children, I found after having them, they are our best teachers in life and how we see things and just by the questions they ask and who they are. So I've learned more having a child than I ever did before.
So clearly it's not just a parental crisis or an existential crisis. It's a way of actually sort of coping with life as well, which is always very good. We have been joined by one of our wonderful souls who will always ask, why am I doing English and journalism at the University of Lincoln? Why am I doing this whole system? It's Rebecca Bond. Rebecca, I trust you had a chance to actually check out some of Erin's writing. It's not necessarily in your target age range, but at the same time, for the human experience, I would have thought it's got a whole range of things to add to the whole thing.
I have indeed, and I've really enjoyed looking at the reason behind why you've actually written the book. I think it's such an important topic to write about. And I think a lot of the time we underestimate the intelligence of children. So as you say, we can learn a lot from children. So I was interested as to why you decided to actually put that into a book. Did you just, you know, use the topic and decide to sit down and turn that into something that families of all ages can enjoy?
Well, the reason I decided to write it was because I couldn't find anything in the bookstores that answered the questions my daughter, or helped me answer the questions she was asking. We love books. We read everything. We've read to her since before she even knew who we were. And I could not find a particular author to assist me in what I was trying to answer for her. I literally stopped in the bookstore and I thought, well, I used to write. I'm an English and law major. What I do now is a lot of writing. I'm just going to do it myself. And then I thought, oh my God, I'm going to do this myself. So because I couldn't find what I was looking for, I sat down and I took some of the questions that she had asked over and over again. And I tried to write it in a way that made sense for her. And hopefully would touch other families and other children and give, it was a way I thought to write this book that would give families an opportunity to connect and for kids to understand it's okay to ask questions. Whether you're 5 or 12 or 25, it's okay to keep questioning things and asking things and find the answers you're looking for because we're always learning.
I love that. And it reminded me of a quote. I'm not going to quote it directly because I'm probably not going to quote it right, but I love the whole idea of writing the book that you want to read. So if there isn't a book out there, write it. And I think the topic you've written about is really, really important. I think that's really going to help, you know, as you say, answer those questions. And it's interesting, isn't it, to look into these things that children bring up about the world, because sometimes they're things we haven't even thought about ourselves. And there is so much we can learn from children. So I think your book is a wonderful way of opening that up as conversation. So I think that's really, really well done.
I do appreciate that. And as I said, I think we can all learn from children. I think we can learn from reading this book, from all the questions they ask and how they see the world. It's really through new eyes. As we grow, we are blinded, I think, just by the way life is. And they have such a fresh look at life and people around them that you see it differently. So it was a really fun process to put together.
Children are people who live in a land made of raindrops and puddles and pebbles and streams, solemnly watching a twig as it sails on a clear crystal pool to an island of dreams. There go a pair who have just built a city of mud, and it's real. They know that mud doesn't look very pretty, but ooh, how it feels. This little boy greets the snow with a smile. That little girl has discovered an isle made up of pillows. One little fellow is friends with the wind in the willows. All of them children, and all are mysterious people. I can remember when I was a boy that my bed was a ship that I sailed through the night. And I remember the world as a place that was eager and loving and shiny and bright. Where is the boy who was friends with a rainbow and once rode upon? Where is that shy and mysterious person? Oh, where have I gone? I can remember I once said my prayers, but now I stand by while my children say theirs, watching them kneeling. And I could cry that one day they'll forget all that they're feeling. Oh, what a shame that our children should grow into people.
I'm just intrigued in the way in which you graduated from Carleton University in Ottawa, and then you go off to become a fitness instructor on cruise ships. That's a bit of a kind of left field turn, isn't it? In terms of, you know, normally we'd say you'd go into law or possibly English, etc. But a fitness instructor, pray tell, why?
Well, I was doing that at the same time as I was going to school. And when I finished school, I wanted to travel and I had school loans. So before continuing my education, I thought, well, how am I going to travel without money? So I took the last few $100s I had. I flew to Miami and I auditioned out of 30 fitness instructors. There were two of us from Canada. I got the job and I saw the world and paid off my school loans. And that's why I veered that way. So I came home with a backpack and, you know, a couple $1,000s and my school loans paid off, and saw more in that time than I have since. So then back to real life.
Well, Ah, but what is real life? I mean, we've already said in terms of, you've got that other question there that you've already put, the sequel to why must be how, you know, the whole sort of routine, you know, why to how to what. Oh, we're full of questions. Let's move to North Carolina, the home of sweet tea and so many other marvellous things. It's just frankly amazing. And indeed, we're delighted to welcome to the regular author of the week slot, Jessica Burtis. Jessica, what are your thoughts on Mummy? Why?
I think it's such a cute idea, and I'm sorry I'm so late. My Zoom did not want to connect, but I'm very glad I can ask you questions about your book because it's so cute. And so I'm very curious if, like, did you have this experience in your childhood where you were kind of just like asking all these questions about the world and why, and it kind of inspired your book?
You know what? It came completely from having my daughter. So after I had her, that's where the questions came. Anything I wrote before that when I was younger was just, it's always been based on my experiences and people that I knew. And after having her and listening to her ask me all of these questions, it really brought that why question back to me, that we're always learning. And, you know, I wanted to put it down in writing. I wanted her to have that for her. So if she ever questioned herself, if she ever questioned her place in this world, not to do that, because she was unique and special. And any child that ends up reading it or their parent reads it, I wanted them to know that too. It doesn't matter what you look like, who you are, where you're from. You all have a place. And it's important that all of us know that, regardless of our age. So that's a part of the background of that as well. But yeah, it came out of, you know, having her, really.
And really impressed in terms of, sorry, Jessica, go on.
I was gonna say, do you think that people don't really understand that children have these kind of like thoughts and questions? I feel like sometimes people are kind of dismissive of kids' like thoughts. They think they can't think of serious things.
I think you're absolutely right. To be frank, I didn't even think of that until I had children, you know? And I said earlier that, you know, my daughter has been and will continue to be my greatest teacher in this life. And if I don't take a moment and watch her and listen to her and see how she sees the world, then that's not going to be a great experience for me. It's the way I'm learning. So it was, whether you have children or not, you can have a very full life, but having them, I found that I've learned more, you know, in her now 11 years than I wanted to. And they're a great mirror, whether you like it or not. They really show you who you are. So sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes not. But, you know, they have a lot to teach us, children do.
So clearly hats off to Morgan for inspiration on this particular aspect, which is good. Got to ask the question, is it Morgan after the actress Morgan Fairchild or after the Arthurian character Morgan Le Fay?
I wish it was that interesting. My husband was very adamant that we had a child that had an M, that started with an M, because his name is Mark. We had to come up with a name a few hours before leaving the hospital. So we came up, we wanted a strong name that maybe not everybody had, that, you know, she could live up to. And she certainly has. She fits it to a T. And the pictures in the book actually are her. They're from pictures of our family. So they look very much like she did at the time that I wrote it.
So it could have been a Michaela, it could have been a Maria, it could have been a Madeline, it could have been all sorts of things, but in the end, Morgan was the one that actually worked.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Yeah. Got to also ask the question in terms of Jackson. Blue standard poodle, a blue standard poodle. Is this a new kind of Canadian thing that you've got in terms of, or indeed Alaska, you know, you've got a blue standard poodle? What is this?
They're blue because their skin is blue. It's like their skin is sky blue. And the hair is, they look black, but when you look closely, they have white and a little bit of brown. And when they're born, they're black, and they change color by the age of 3 to a gunmetal gray. And they're the only poodle that can have all colored poodle puppies.
I mean, Aaron, this is consistently on a week by week basis. When we cross the Atlantic, it's a whole new experience. I mean, this very day, actually, I received from Jessica in North Carolina a Chico stick, which I thought, is that chicken on a stick? I mean, it's extraordinary, you know, a Chico stick. It's amazing what sort of things actually come through. That's, by the way, thank you very much for that, Jessica. I have duly responded in all sorts of ways. Excellent. Rebecca, any other thoughts or questions you'd like to add?
Yeah, I was reading a bit about how your daughter inspired your love of drawing and writing again. Was it just this particular book that she inspired you to write, or has she opened up a realm of, you know, getting back into what you used to love? Was that her that inspired you to get back into it?
Oh, absolutely. The other, when I have time, there are a couple of other story ideas that I have, and they are based on my husband and I. We would read to her, but we would come up with stories. She liked to for us just to tell her stories. So there are a couple of other book ideas that we've actually started based on the stories and the characters that came out of those stories. So she's been a great inspiration. Those probably be a little bit older, but not much. And so every idea I've had comes out of my relationship with her and my husband.
Well, that's so lovely that she's brought that back out, because I think we've been talking about all these wonderful things that children can do, but I think that is one of them as well. It's really bringing out almost not even the child in you, but just the positives in you. It just makes you really focus on all these lovely things like storytelling, writing, drawing, all the things that we sometimes forget about in our, you know, daily rush of life. It's really nice that she's brought that back out for you.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously put it aside for years, and as soon as I started to write, it felt like coming home. I just that I had done it, and it did not take me long to write out this book, and it has not taken me long to start these other projects as well. So I would thank her to the end of my days just for that, and meant much more.
Oh, that's so lovely. That's wonderful.
I frequently said, Aaron, that parents are very difficult to bring into the world. So you're clearly manifesting that whole side of things. It's important.
That is a great way to, that is the greatest thing to say. I'm going to remember
that. Well, there you go. Always like to put out the occasional quote, which is important. Ever tempted to go back to the cruise ships? Because obviously you're a huge success there. You work through that sort of system. Is there ever sort of notion where you think, do you know, I think I'll just go back and do some more fitness training on cruise ships?
No. You know what? I did it I was a teacher for 15 years. And I'm just at a different place in my life now than I was then. But it was one of the best experiences I've ever had, and worked from people from all over the world that were amazing. So I would, if I were younger, maybe. But I'm pretty settled right now. So... yeah,
makes perfect sense. Mind you, having said that, you know, age is just a number. Let's face it. You know, you just have to work our way through that whole process. Rocky Mountains, of course, where you're based, just outside of Calgary. I tend to instantly sort of associate that with the Calgary Stampede. Is that still a thing? Or is that just a case of, no, it's another British misconception about life in North America?
No, the Calgary Stampede is massive. It's people come from all over the world. Entertainers come from all over the world. For those of us that are local, we don't always go because it's a little bit crazy. But with COVID, last year was the first year it was canceled, I think, in over 100 years. So this year they're going to look at it. But yes, Calgary Stampede is a spectacular event. You can find things that you like no matter what. You know, if you love animals and entertainment and singing and art and books and like everything's there. So it's quite amazing, actually. So hopefully they'll have you.
I always thought it was slightly scary. I thought it was like buffalo stampeding across the plains. I thought you don't want to be in the road in the line of those. You'd be mowed down like nobody's business. Still, never mind.
So everything's contained, but you do see the races, and you do see the bucking horses and and the Broncos and all of that. So it's very cowboy for sure.
Well, I suppose we have the Aintree Grand National and that sort of still taking place, which is all good. And before we go back to Jessica and Rebecca, of course, what about the competitive nature of your weekly game nights? How competitive do they actually become?
We're all very competitive.
Yeah, I thought that.
We're learning. We're kind to each other, for sure. But, and Morgan will disagree, but she kind of cheats sometimes. So, but you have to pay attention because she likes to win. We all like to win no matter what. But at the end of the day, we have fun. And we usually will play, especially if it's cards, we'll play until everybody at least wins a hand, if possible.
And clearly, when you say the words kind of cheats, I mean, I'm being a bit of a pedant here, but in terms of that, when you say kind of cheat, is it a case of sometimes you just want to call her out and say, Morgan, you have just cheated? Or is it just a case of, no, that's just a variation?
Oh, no, she gets called out every time. And she says she doesn't. So that's where the kind of is. I'm saying she does and she's saying she doesn't. So, but she does. So, no. We don't let anything pass. Everyone gets called out.
So is it mostly cards or do you do things like Scrabble and other sort of board games as well? Is that kind of a whole panoply of things?
Yeah. No, we play different card games. We play board games. Morgan's made up actually some pretty fun games just out of her imagination that we'll play. So it can be anything. We get new games. She usually gets a new game every birthday and Christmas. So we're usually playing something new or pull out old ones. We have Twister, but I'm getting a bit old at some of the twists. If I get into a position, I really can't get out of it. So I just have to fall.
And you just don't get that on the virtual gaming network of Call of Duty, do you? Let's face it. That kind of real interactivity. Even Wii Fit won't actually give you that kind of level of interactivity. Or maybe it will.
No, we like the older game. We like to interact that way. So having a game night's always important to us. So it's fun and it keeps your mind going.
Okay, Rebecca, I mean, I'm not sure if you've got any game questions or anything else at this stage, but what else would you like to put into the mix?
I'd just love to talk about storytelling again, because as a writer or even as a parent, because I find obviously when you have a child, it does become, I mean, I don't have a child, I'm not speaking from experience, but with children, if you're talking to children, it does become very fantasy, very wild. And I was interested what kind of stories you like to tell or write. Do they differ in any way, or do you tend to write what your daughter likes to hear?
So when we tell her stories, she likes fantasy. She likes worlds, and she likes just characters that you can make up. Like one of them that we're working on is directly a story about a girl that moves to a new place, and she finds this magical door with a key, and she's like, well, Mom, what if it's a laughing key and then it laughs and then you put it in the lock? And then so she goes into this magical world and there's this, all these sections, the rainbow disappears. So we have to go on adventures to find each color of the rainbow, which are found in these areas that are completely different from each other. And in that, you have to thank those areas for giving you that part of the rainbow. And so it's that kind of thing that she really likes. And another one we're talking about is a pirate on a ship called Captain Hartsberger, and he's on all these adventures to different islands. And so if you can come up with the most fanciful name in the most fanciful area with lots of color and brightness with good message, she's happy and I'm happy.
I love that. Yeah. I love that, and I love children's imaginations, how colorful they are and how, you know, things that our brains can't even think of, they come up with these wonderful stories and characters, as you say. So yeah, I love that. My amazing imagination.
Yeah, she's brought my imagination back, that's for sure. She'll start it with her talk about things, and then all of a sudden we're both just, and she, one great thing about writing again, she's writing her own stories, and she said, Mommy, if I finish this story, can you edit it, can you publish it? And I said, Absolutely, but you have to finish.
Oh, that's so lovely. It's great that she's also trying, like she's doing the same thing. She's following in your footsteps almost, and she's turning her amazing imagination into something that she can, you know, she can make, she can create her own book. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and they're really good. And her stories are...
It sounds like it. It does.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Before you know where you are, you'll actually have a movie version with Captain Burger running through his ship in green slow motion. It'll be amazing. Oh. You can call it Voyage to the Burger. Never mind.
Yeah.
Let's move back to Jessica. Any thoughts from yourself?
I'm curious about how you feel like COVID has affected kind of parents spending time with children or just with other loved ones, and how you've kind of gone about trying to keep up, like having fun during this time. Because I know, especially for kids, this must be like, feels even longer than a year. I know it feels like that for us. So I was just very curious about that.
I think for everyone, I'm sure worldwide with COVID, it's very much the same feeling at times. You feel isolated at times. You'll feel like you can't breathe or it's stressful. And when you have children and families in the same space, you have to make a choice. It's a conscious choice, I think, to use that time wisely. And appreciate the time you have together, because so much is taken away and you just have each other. So you have to use your imagination. You have to slow down. You have to be creative with the time you have together. And with us, it's just Morgan. So, you know, we have to make sure she isn't lonely and she isn't just doing things on her own. We have to make that time for her. So as a parent of kids at home, not involved in 10,000 activities they normally are involved in, all of the responsibility is on you to make sure that they are mentally active and emotionally stable and physically active. So it's a challenge some days, but you can choose to end up having a better relationship and be closer with your kids while they're there. Because as soon as things open up, if they ever do again, they're going to be out of your reach doing all these other things again. This is a really special time. You can look at it as a very special time for family. And whether you have children or just your mom and dad or, you know, your dog or boyfriend or, I mean, you have to choose how you want to spend your time together. And you'll do it well or you won't and appreciate it. So we're doing our best. Not every day is great. Sometimes I have to walk away and say, you know, mom needs a time out. I need some time on my own. And then we get back together. So it's balanced.
So when you can find a quiet space, you love to crack open a book and dive into the other world. And sometimes, just sometimes, think about what world you'll create with your own thoughts, words and imagination. And I suppose that's the ultimate sort of essence of creativity, really, that you have that synthesis from your own experiences in terms of the brave new world. Got to ask the other question. We talked about obviously your fitness scenario, but ever consider saying, right, I'm now going to become a lawyer?
Actually, yes. I've looked into that and tried to see if I could do it part-time, kind of work and family, but it has to be full on, you know, 100% in school, and that's not where my life is right now. So what I do in my job day to day is similar to that the information I read is very it's policies and legislation and writing appeals, and so I'm doing some similar work and then trying to be creative on the side.
As you said, how do you answer that question? Are you doing this right? Do you know anything? And are my armpits are beginning to sweat? Interesting. Oh. Possibly glow, but what the hey?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Whether you have children or not, we've all been in that situation. We've all, no matter what your age, especially, you know, when I was in university, there are times where you feel like that when you're writing a paper and when you're researching and trying to figure that out.
Presumably it depends how much you're working the writing hand or typing hand, depending on how much heat you're generating in your armpits to actually get that sort of thing going, really.
Well, I'll give you one quick story, because I was writing a paper and I stayed up all night, and the next in the morning, I pulled it up to print off to bring to the professor, and it was gone. It wasn't there. So that is an armpit sweating situation. And everyone on my floor came and they're trying to find it. And I think it was 20 pages altogether, and we found five. So I had to go to the professor and ask for an extension as outside his office, just sweating. And I heard him speaking to a student saying, "There is no way you're going to get an extension. This had to be done on time." And I thought, oh no.
But surely you have the ultimate excuse, Erin. You could have actually said, "Yes, but the dissertation fairy stole my work." Basically, that would be the key thing. You know, it would work. I'd probably give you an extension.
I think it was the look on my face when I walked in. He knew I was not lying, so I did get an extension and I did well. But so no matter what's going on in your life, you're going to have those heart stopping moments, and you know you get through it. You just do.
Even if you have to say, "Why, Mommy, why?"
This is the reason why. Yeah, you just have to be honest and transparent, and that's the best way you can answer those why questions to anybody.
Makes perfect sense. Well, we have two final questions to wrap up with, Erin, which Rebecca will deliver one and Jessica the other. But the best way to get in touch with you, erindrice.com. Is that the best way for the website?
Yeah, that's the website, and that will link to a Facebook page that I have. I do check in on it. I'm going to be honest. Social media is tough for me. I check in, but I'm not updating all the time, juggling everything, but that does link to it. So if comments written on there, I can always answer.
And something else that Morgan can obviously help you with, as a child, she'll be able to actually do a whiz with all of the Instagrams, the TikToks and so on and so forth. She'll be all across that.
She's so much better at that than I am. But as a parent, I have her very restricted with things like that right now. She's 11, so she's not very happy with me. But I want her and I want kids to have time to be kids and not be so involved in things that take them to areas that they're just not ready for. So, when I give her a chance, she's way better at it than I am.
So let's move on to those last two questions. Rebecca, would you like to deliver question one?
I would love to. Erin, it's been lovely chatting to you, but have you had an enjoyable Zoom link with us today on the programme?
This has been wonderful. The questions have been great. It's been a pleasure to speak with all of you today, and I appreciate the time that you've all taken from your day today to speak with me.
Oh, not at all. It's been wonderful talking to you.
And Jessica.
Will you be joining us again?
Will I be joining you again? That's going to be up to
Morgan. And,
you know what? On the next book. Yes.
There you go. That's what we need to know. So Morgan, obviously on the case there. You mentioned your husband, of course. Name check for him?
Mark.
Mark, of course, you mentioned that. And we've got to actually find out before you actually go, what is the blue poodle called?
Jackson.
Of course, exactly. There you go. This is just all fits together perfectly. Erin, it's been fantastic connecting with your good self again. Keep on keeping on, and stay happy, stay well, stay creative.
And to all of you too, thank you so much. Stay healthy, stay happy, and hopefully things will open up for everybody soon. Take care.
Answered the telephones, the boys answered the calls. That's where little girls grew crooked, while the little boys grew tall. Why did the little girls grow crippled, while the little boys grew strong? The boy's allowed to come of age, the girls just come along. The girls would all sing harmonies, while the boys could all sing songs. That's where little girls grew crippled, while the little boys grew strong. Why did the little girls come broken, while the little boys came whole? And the little boys all were set aflame, and the girls told fan the coals. The boys were told to be themselves, the girls were told play roles. That's where little girls came broken, while the little boys came whole. Why were the little girls made frightened to be just what they are? The boys were told to ask themselves, how high, how far? The girls were told to reach the shelves, while the boys were reaching stars. That's where little girls were frightened to be just what they are. And still they bled for us all, as the moon rode the sky. They carried our seed when our need ran high, and they fed all our children in the night as they cried. Womankind wept as mankind died. When all the boys were done, and then left there in the moonlight, when the boys went to meet the sun. And when the girls were open, why had the little boys all won? That's where little girls were hurting, when all the boys were done. Why did the little girls grow crooked, while the little boys grew tall? It's maybe because the little boys didn't ever have to grow up at all.
Well, 24 hours from now or thereabouts, I will have had my first vaccination. I know, very exciting. The next one is due in June. But in addition to obviously that and hands, face, space and fresh air, and of course, maintaining to ensure that we will work from home wherever possible and indeed actually use mask, face coverings, etc., and hand sanitizer together with social space where we leave our homes, there is another step that we perhaps need to actually look at in terms of the fantastic world that we live in vis-a-vis coronavirus, pandemics, and keeping ourselves safe, and others, of course. And to talk us through this, we are delighted, beyond words almost, to actually welcome back to the programme that awesome medic. It's Dr. Zoe Williams. How are you, Zoe?
I'm great, thank you. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
All good. Now, in terms of this whole side of things, it's worth noting that we can now self-test. We can now actually take our tests at home. We can order them. They're not going to cost anything. And this is quite an important part of what things need to be added to the weaponry in this battle against that pesky virus.
Exactly. I think that's the perfect way to put it. You know, this is a battle. It's us against the virus. The vaccination program is doing incredibly well. You know, that is the thing that is saving lives. And the hands, face, fresh air message is still incredibly important, because those are the things that, you know, get rid of the virus and prevent it from being able to transmit. But I think one of the gaps in our weaponry has been the fact that this virus is very clever in that 1 in 3 people who are infected don't have any symptoms. So, of course, those people have no knowledge that they're infected, that they're potentially spreading the virus. So now with this self-testing, which comes online today and is available for free for all adults who will be encouraged to test twice a week, this is a way that we can be vigilant, do our checks twice a week, and it's a way of picking up cases of people who have asymptomatic COVID. And by knowing, obviously, that we have the infection, we can then make sure we stay at home and that particular line of infection transmission ends with us.
It's perhaps not as much an automatic part of our lives as brushing our teeth, for instance, or indeed doing general ablutions, but maybe from the point of view of the foreseeable future, it needs to be taken on board, as you said, for asymptomatic folk as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, of course, it's voluntary. Nobody's going to be forced to do this. But as a GP, me and my colleagues, not just GPs, but everyone who works in our practice, we've been doing this for several months now. We get the test from work. I do it on a Monday and a Thursday. So as soon as I wake up, before I brush my teeth, when I go into the bathroom on a Monday and a Thursday, I do a test. It just takes a couple of minutes. And then 30 minutes later, I have the result. So it has become part of it. It's, you know, we're quite good at developing new habits. And if this is something that people are willing to take on board, which I'm really hoping they will, it's an important part of making sure that we all stay safe. It is easy to do. It's going to be free. Tests are being made available. They can be delivered to your house, or you can collect them from local testing centres. Or for many of us, they're available in our workplace. For secondary school children, they're available in school. So it's been really made easy for us to do. It's not the most enjoyable thing to do, I'll be completely honest. It's a bit uncomfortable the first couple of times, but you very quickly get used to it. And it does just become a normal part of weekly routine.
Now, one of the key things we're taking part in today is obviously to spread the word, to actually communicate about things, and indeed it's spread the word, not the virus, which is important. So in terms of, let's say, families who are listening to this, or indeed family members and so on, it really is all about communication, presumably, in terms of ensuring that you do talk with members of your family to explain why it's important, but also to obviously deal with inevitably what might happen, where you get stubbornness emerging from all generations saying, why do I need to do this, etc., etc.
Yeah, and it's like with everything else, there will always be some people who refuse to do it. There'll be some people who, perhaps for medical reasons, it's not possible for them to do it. But if the majority of us get on board with this and we do our bit to fight the virus, and remember, you know, collectively we're all in this together against the virus, then it is going to make a huge impact. It's going to make a huge difference. And I think my advice when it comes to communicating this for families in particular is, let's talk about this in a positive light. This is something we're all doing to protect ourselves, to protect other people, protect people in our school. And over the next few months, things are opening back up. We can go to the hairdressers. We're going to be able to go to shops. We're going to be able to go to sports events and occasions. And this is, it's something that hopefully will become normal part of people's routine, that's going to help us be able to sustain that plan. We all want to get life back to normal, but sadly, the truth is this virus isn't going to disappear in the next few months. We are going to be living with it. It's going to continue to circulate over the next few years. And this is, you know, one of the weapons that we have against the virus to minimize the effect it can have on people and to keep us all safe.
Yeah, I think historically, you look back at the Spanish flu, and there are still cases being reported 5 years after the initial outbreak back in 1925, shall we say, back in the 20th century. So it is something which, as you say, needs to obviously be guarded against, especially when you see the international news in terms of what's happening in countries such as Brazil and so on with variants of the thing coming through together. Now, it's not to panic people that we're saying this, but it is a case of, as you said, ensuring that you will basically keep yourself safe and keep the rest of the population safe as well from that point of view.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, at the moment in this country in particular, it's a good news story, isn't it? We're seeing those numbers go of cases and of people who are dying going down rapidly. We're in a really good place at the moment. It does feel that it's the right thing to do to start opening up industries again, and people can get their livelihoods back and get back on track, because of course, the impact on people's health has been way beyond the effects of COVID itself, the mental health impacts, the social health impacts. So we now have an opportunity to get our lives pretty much back to normal. And these lateral flow tests, these rapid tests, it's another tool, it's another enabler to help us do that successfully.
NHS.uk/get-tested presumably is where you can actually order the tests. Is that also where you can actually see your fabulous demonstration as well, Zoe?
I'm not sure whether they've shared it on there. I did a demonstration on my Instagram a few weeks ago when this testing was being rolled out in secondary school children, so that parents could sort of get up to speed with what they're doing. So it's on my Instagram page. And yeah, I think maybe they are going to share a link to it as well on the NHS website. But as you say, nhs.uk/get-tested, all the information's on there, plus instructions as to how you can order these tests, either to be delivered to your home, or you can arrange to pick them up from a local testing centre.
Absolutely. The old test, taking a sample from the back of the throat near the tonsils, if you still have them, which is great. And then from the nose using a simple swab, you then actually swirl it round and so on and so forth and wait, of course, for that 30 minutes. So really, I suppose, making it part of the daily schedule. And if people are saying, oh, we're too busy to actually do that in the morning, etc., make a bit of time, maybe get up a bit earlier, maybe actually put in various reminders to ensure that the twice weekly tests are carried out would be the best way, would you suggest?
Yeah, you know, the first couple of times you do it, it does take a bit longer because you're reading the instructions and you're figuring out what to do. But like myself and my colleagues who've been doing it for months, honestly, it takes 2 minutes, if that, and it's twice a week. So on a Monday and a Thursday, I have them in the bathroom. As soon as I get up in the morning, I do it. And it's really not a big deal once you get used to it.
All fascinating stuff for life in the 21st century. Dr. Zoe Williams, many thanks for joining us today. Keep on keeping on. And I'm sure we'll speak again in the not too distant future. Take care now.
Yeah, and you. Thanks so much.